today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Happy Halloween, everybody. A special Halloween edition of the Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast. And today, it's with my friend Minoxide from the band Twisted. Those guys recently spent the entire summer of 2018 in the Warped Tour. He tells me how that went.
We did it. Every day. We didn't miss any day. It was amazing.
We talk about Halloween movies. I mean, if you've ever seen a Twisted concert, you know, these guys are pretty much handmade for Halloween.
Well, like I said, I live Halloween almost every single day.
We talk about new music in their future. Last time I talked to these guys last year, they said their new music would include a real band.
I believe for the first time in 20 years, we've got everybody covered in a way that'll make everybody feel happy.
That's just for starters with Minoxide from Twisted. Then Al Beck joins me for Rock News on Kiss, John 5, David Draymond from Disturbed, Ronnie James Dio, and more today on Talking Rock.
This is Talking Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Hey, thank you guys so much for checking out Talking Rock with Meltdown. If you like this show, please subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating. We do appreciate that. Kind of brand new up there on iTunes. Just been actually kind of retooling my old podcast and putting it together here with this new one. So we do appreciate that. You can follow me on social media at Meltdown WRF or the show at Talking Rock with Meltdown. I think it's Talking Rock with One is the actual Twitter handle. Anyhow, I had a chance to talk with Minoxide kind of by accident from the band Twisted. I was supposed to talk with Jamie. This interview was scheduled, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 days out. And apparently Jamie was in a slumber. So they got Minoxide on. Love Minoxide. Love Jamie as well. Two really good guys. Twisted, just a cool band to check out, especially this time of year. I mean, Halloween. I mean, these guys are like custom made for Halloween. So anyways, the hotline was ringing and Minoxide was on the other line. And here we go today, talking rock with the guys from Twisted, or at least one of them. Dude, you guys are unbelievable.
I am looking for the maniacal master of the Meltdown.
Hey, what's up, Minoxide? How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Where is Jamie, by the way? Where is he?
Right now, he is in an ether-like slumber from a long night of, let's just say, a little bit of inebriated liquidation.
Oh, man, that's unbelievable. So, yeah, I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to talk to Jamie about? And then he's snoozing, man. So how's things going with you?
Everything is going amazingly well. It hasn't stopped raining in the last 914 hours, so we're a little soggier than usual, but man, we are just enjoying this like it's the last days of our days.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's awesome. So, hey, real fast, before we get into what you got going on right now and in the future and whatnot, I wanted to hear about the Warped Tour. So how did that go for you guys?
It was the most brutal, excruciating, pleasurable experience of our life, of our careers. Like, we've never been through anything like that. And at the end of the day, we just looked at each other and we were like, we did it. Every day, we didn't miss any day. It was amazing. And it took us to a whole nother audience.
Really?
So people that were just like this. It's like that was the deciding factor in us doing the Warped Tour, was at the end of the day, you look at all the different bands, it's an eclectic grouping. And that gives me the idea that those people that are coming there are open to things that are not necessarily considered mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how'd the other bands treat you?
They treated us like we had done 12 of these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. They all open-armed us, you know. It was like a wing thing, a bunch of birds just taking us, the little sparrows that were Twisted, and showing them the way. And it was awesome. Bert from the Used, man, just a great guy. It was that, but he was just a great guy. Chris from Motionless, great guy. All the guys from Necro, all the guys from Chelsea, like, amazing people that they didn't know who we were. They had only known what they had heard, but they bucked that trend. And instead of assuming that those were correct, they came over and they talked to us and they found out that, like anybody else, it's wrong. The perception of Twisted by most of America is incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so of course, you know, you got the fans out there. There must have been Twisted fans, but you must have won over bunches of other fans as well.
Absolutely, and that, you know, that's all we believe that. All we need is a chance. We need a chance just to be us. And if everybody gives us that chance, then they'll see that.
Yeah,
we are absolutely one of the greatest things that they've never heard of.
That's awesome to hear. Now, you guys are no spring chickens. I mean, you guys have done this for a little while now, and some of these bands probably, like you said, they never heard of you or nothing like this. And there's probably bands on that tour that you guys have toured way more than they have, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I really like the guys from Palais Royal. Really good dudes. Really talented. Them dudes are super talented. But, you know, that was one of those things. I never heard of them. They never heard of us. But by the end of the thing, we were fans of each other. Like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah. Now, that's the final Warped Tour, right? That's it.
Yeah. That sucks. But I want everybody to know that Twisted did everything we could to beg Kevin Lyman to have another one.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to move on to something bigger and better. I understand it. Absolutely. We're just glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, good for you guys. I'm always pulling for you guys. I'm glad to hear that went so well. You know, I was wondering about that all throughout the summertime, how that was going to go over with, you know, the different fans and stuff, but it sounds like it was a great experience.
Absolutely. I mean, we were not even sure. Mm-hmm. We're like, man, we can go out. It can be the same way it was, you know, when we tried this 17 years ago and we got booed off of that stage. We could easily go out to that, but a lot has changed, man, and they just accepted us. Or they didn't accept us. They were, I don't know how you say it, like, it was insane to watch it grow 20 years in the game. You know what I mean? We've been doing this for 20 years, and now, once again, we're getting bigger.
Right.
Like, who does that?
Right, right.
Who does that without a radio hit or without any TV shows or Netflix shows, just literally off of the blood, sweat, and tears of the last 20 years that we've built? Like, here we go again, the Doctor Who's of the rap game. We're regenerating.
Like, yeah, that's
unbelievable.
That's cool, man. I'm super happy for you guys. So this, I mean, Monoxide, is this like your time of year? I mean, Halloween?
You know what? Halloween and Christmas, those are, I live Halloween almost every day.
Right.
Every day is like Halloween to me. I am the Clark W. Griswold. That is my specialty. But like I said, I live Halloween almost every single day. So, a chance to meet Santa Claus, though. It just can't be that. And that's where I am.
Hey, when you guys are out there touring and stuff, do you get a chance to watch that new Halloween movie?
Yes, we did. We all of us went. Twisted, Boondocks, Underground Avengers, Axe, we all went. 25 people deep. We poured into this movie theater, right? We get in there. We're sitting there for about 15 minutes. There's audio, but there's nothing playing on the screen. Now we're 15 minutes past the show time. A lady comes in and tells us up. You get the bone. It doesn't work.
Oh.
We're like, ah. So she said we could come back for a 10:55 showing, and we did.
Really?
You know, it was entertaining. Yeah, it was very entertaining.
Yeah, I think I might go watch that tonight. So as far as horror movies and Halloween stuff, what kind of stuff are you into?
My favorite right now is Paranormal Activities, the Marked Ones.
Yeah.
For some reason, that movie is just... And it's weird because I had no interest in seeing it. I was like, oh, my God, they really went against, you know, the story that they were telling. And I happened to see it on a Humble, and wow, love that one. Some old school little Amityville 2, always terrifying.
Yeah, didn't I see it? Did you guys... I'm trying to remember because you guys put so much stuff out there on Instagram. Were you guys by the Amityville house recently?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, yep. It was your... Okay, yeah, so what, were you guys playing a gig by there and just decided to just take a swing by?
Yeah, we were like two blocks away. We were literally playing in Amityville, New York. So the house was a couple blocks away from it. So Jamie had a great idea to go over and take a picture by it or whatever, and they ended up getting a trespassing ticket and almost arrested. He got his picture.
Yeah, that's a great movie, too. I gotta get my kid to watch that one. You know, my kid's 15. It's fun to watch these horror movies with him. We saw the first Halloween for the first time a couple weeks ago, and he said it was cheesy. I don't know. I think he was scared.
But, you know, what the kids see today, it's hard to go backwards for people today. It's hard for them to see it our way, you know. And that's kind of like when you watch a movie and you loved it as a kid, and maybe you watch it as an adult, and you're like, I can't believe I liked it.
Yeah. So what's happening with you guys as far as music-wise and stuff? Are you guys, records, recording, writing stuff? What's going on?
Right now, we are putting the finishing touches on a 17-track masterpiece that we're going to have out beginning of 2019. And it seems like every other day we're releasing another song on Spotify.
Okay.
So you keep your eye on that Spotify, and you just never know. It just keeps popping up. Oh, we put out another one. Oh, there's another one. Just trying to keep the people entertained, trying to keep their mind off of what's really going on in the world, because that really sucks. We're just doing the best we can at it, you know what I mean? Letting them know that there are people out in the world that actually give a shit about them.
Right. And what is this? Tell me a little bit about this record and stuff.
Oh, man, the record is... We did a lot of different things for this one because we were tired of doing a record, and then you go and you do press, and you're like, oh, it's the best record we've ever done, and blah, blah, blah. So we're doing some crazy things like going and seeing psychics and getting readings and just... really delving in to parts of our being that that are untapped, we've never touched. And I'm telling you, the stuff that we've got, oh my God, this is hands down, it's going to be special for everybody, for us, for the listeners, for everybody that's been a part of it. It will not just be a CD. It's going to be one of those life changers.
Now, when I was talking to you guys last year, you guys were talking about incorporating a band and stuff into some of the music. Are you doing that?
Oh, yeah. Yep. We got, I believe for the first time in 20 years, we've got everybody covered in a way that'll make everybody feel happy. And I believe that is one of the things that people say is impossible to make everybody happy. But this time, I think we did it. I think we did it.
You
have the perfect balance of everything for everybody.
You're saying this is like your Sergeant Peppers.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, we are in a yellow submarine, and we are floating along. And I think we did it, man. I can't believe it, but I think we did it. Finally, we did it.
I can't wait to hear this. What kind of topics do you guys like kind of delve into in the record?
Oh, man. A lot of talk about, you know, the opioid addiction and a lot of stuff like pick a song, pick a director. If that director wrote that song, what would it sound like? You know what I mean? I wrote a lot of stuff from Quentin Tarantino's point of view on stuff. You know what I mean? Like, just different mind states, different for better topics and discussion when we sit down and talk about the record, as opposed to being like, this song was about a ghost. This song was about murder. This, you know what I mean? Like, just really going in. We're trying to make it hard for other people to raise the bar or to reach the bar.
Yeah, you're setting the bar.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm getting a little afraid because I'm like, you know, we have to do that again. We're going to have to go after that bar. Like, I don't know what we'll do next. We'll mix like the sacrificial lamb's blood into the CD artwork or something. I don't know. But right now, I think we have a masterpiece.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So when you were growing up, you mentioned the sacrificial lamb's blood and stuff. When you were growing up, I don't know if I asked you about this before, but were you like a Kiss fan?
I was. Yeah. I was. And I can remember walking out of my room probably at about 5 or 6 years old, looking at the TV and seeing this Kiss movie playing, and my mom and dad telling me, get the hell back in your room. I had no clue what that was, but it stuck with me. And then through, you know, just growing up, I found out who they were, and I found out what that movie was, and I was just blown away. Like, oh, my God, Gene Simmons is blown. He did that with his mouth, but... I always fancied myself Paul Stanley. I don't know why. I don't know why. But it was like, you know what I mean? Because he looked like he was the one that was banging all the chicks. And, you know what I mean?
Yep, I do.
He was the one that registered to me. Absolutely. I still remember holding that record with his face on it. Like, crazy.
Now,
crazy. But through time, you know, my taste changed or whatever. But, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had a chance to meet those guys or talk to them or anything?
No. Nope. Our paths have never crossed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. You know what I mean? That would be yeah, that would be awesome.
So I'm assuming that you're going to put out this new record. When does it drop? Do you have a date yet or what?
No, we don't have. We have a date, but we're not sure that we're going to tell anybody the date yet. We're okay. Not sure if we're going to just drop it or if we're going to let people know beforehand.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at as an artist right now, is I'm not sure I want you to judge my record before it comes out or if I just want it to come out.
Now,
that's what happens now. You set a release date, and everybody starts judging right off the bat. Oh, I bet it's going to sound like this. I bet it's going to do this. And it's never a good thing. It's always these bad assumptions.
Right, right. Now, the reason I was asking you about the date was because you guys have Astronomicon 2 coming up, right? Is that in February?
Yes.
All right, what's the date on that?
God bless you. What is it? The 9th, I think.
Okay.
It's like the first weekend of February. It's our second con. This thing has grown faster than anything we've ever been a part of. I've never seen something take off as quickly and as efficiently as Astronomicon. It is absolutely its own force. It has nothing to do with me and Jamie anymore, basically. Like it is, and that's what we want. We want more entities for the people to be entertained by that aren't completely, solely, entirely based on the inclusion of Twisted, because we can only do so much. So we'd like to get these things going and then be able to step away from it and let it survive on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And Astronomicon, holy smokes, that has really done it.
Yeah, now for people that are listening that may not know what it is, so last year you guys did this, of course, all of your all the groups on your record label and stuff were there, and then, of course, you had all sorts of celebrities there from the world of wrestling, horror movies, and the whole thing. Can you throw out any guests that you have already locked up this year?
Oh, man, the greatest is we got Bill Mosley and we got Sid Haig. Right, we're the first con they're doing after the release of the new Rob Zombie movie, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's great, man.
Yeah, we're in talks with them about just really trying to promote that movie with them.
Right.
Doing as much as we can to help that aspect of it. We got Tiny Lister, Devo, coming, make sure everybody's got his money. That dude is a giant. Like, real spit, he is a giant. All kinds of wrestlers. I mean, there's so many people we're in talks with.
Right.
It's just, it's insane, because last year it was more, well, you know, you're a first-time con, and we're just not really sure, or they'd give you these insane prices. And now this year, none of that's happening.
Right.
Everybody wants to be a part of it. We're just proud, man. Like, see? God dang. We know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing.
Yeah, you guys proved yourself last year. Now people are going to want to hop on board.
Yeah, absolutely. And we want to keep it, you know, keep it the way it was, because all our vendors came in. They all made a lot of money. All the signees came in. Everybody made money. Everybody had fun. Everybody was treated with the utmost respect, to the point where they're like, we'll do this every year with you guys. You know what I mean? And just goes to show that everybody in the industry isn't a dirt bag. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are people out there that honestly care and will go the extra mile for you, and that's us.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
And if you've never been to a Comic-Con or pop culture convention, come and check it out. It's awesome.
Yeah, and the good thing about your Astronomicon is that you and Jamie are so, like, wrapped up in Comic-Cons, and you guys know what you guys like, and you guys put it all together for yours.
What we did was exactly that. We took everything that we know that worked and what when we stayed away from what we thought didn't work and just kind of put that into play, you know, sometimes on a smaller scale, sometimes on a larger scale, depending on, you know, where we might have seen the idea or whatever. But, yeah, I believe we created the pop culture Frankenstein. We have the best parts of every one of them, of FDCC, NYCC, ECCC, Independent Cons, Motor City, Motor City Nightmares. Like, we have something from all of them. Some goodness that we've taken away, or mistakes that we've watched happen that didn't work for them or whatever. You know, just stuff like that. We didn't just willy-nilly, let's do a con. You
right,
know?
Right.
So much plotting and planning. It takes almost a year, you know, to plan this thing. So you're done with it in February. By March, April, I'd say the end of the April, you're already booking the next one.
Yeah. So, final thing here for you. You guys have the big gig coming up on Tuesday here in Detroit. So tell us about that.
Oh, man. I can't even believe it's happening. It's so amazing. It's us. It's Chelsea Grin. It's Motionless and White. It's the boys from ACT. And it's going down. We're doing a home and home show. So we're doing a headliner show in Detroit, and then we go with Motionless, and then they headline the next night. So it's like, you know, when Jay-Z and Eminem did that, just on a littler scale. But yeah, man, that's dope. It's amazing to us that there are people that want to work with us that are very respected in this industry and maybe wouldn't have gave us a chance until they finally met us. And that's what happened with Motionless and us and Chris. And we, on that Warped Tour, we just got to hanging out. And it was like, man, what, you know, let's do something together. And this is what happened. This is the start of it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Two shows. Because we believe that their people and our people meld. We believe that their people are our people. They just don't know it yet.
That is true. Truer words have never been spoken. Well, I'll tell you what, Monoxide Man. So it's always great to hear your voice, dude. Hopefully I'll be able to touch base with you here coming up this week. I've been pretty busy and pretty slammed at work and in life in general, but maybe I'll try to make it down there and check you guys out for the show. And maybe Jamie will be awake.
He will absolutely be awake. I will chew him in his balls until he is awake. I will make sure of that. But, yeah, it's awesome. You know, a lot of the – I was just on Facebook Live saying that, like, to know our personalities is to know that Jamie is the talker. I'm the quiet one. I talk when I'm spoken to, but I'm very reserved. It might come off like an asshole, and I apologize, but I'm not. I'm seriously one of those people that I speak when spoken to. That's how I was raised. I can't shake that. I try to shake it and come out of my shell. Hey, everybody. And it just feels weird. But if you talk to me, I promise I'm not an asshole.
Dude, I've never said those words in my life. You've always been great to me, and it's always awesome to talk to you. So,
hey, anytime, man. I appreciate it very much. We are a very big part of what we're doing over here. You know that.
Well, I appreciate that. That's nice of you to say. Hey, listen, man, safe travels. We'll see you here in Detroit in a couple days, and a happy Halloween to you guys.
Happy Halloween, man. We love you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey, Beck, that's how you do a Halloween edition of Talking Rock with Meltdown, with Monoxide from Twisted.
Yeah. And I think you got it. I think you got it, dude.
Nailed it. That's right. Nailed it.
That's right.
So have you seen those guys live before?
No, I have not.
Yeah, they're interesting. No question about it.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I like those guys a lot. They're really good people and good dudes, and they got some good songs as well. Hey, real fast, before we get into rock news today, I just want to tell you, I saw Carl Palmer last night. Now, Carl Palmer was like our first guest on Talking Rock for episode number one, I suppose. And I got to be honest, man, it was really good. He was awesome. And he's got these two guys who play guitar with him. The bass player's name is Simon. I don't know what the guitar player's name is. But, man, really good band, tight band. And Carl Palmer, I mean... outside of seeing like Neil Peart, he is like really up there as far as progressive drummers. So I'm at the show last night with one of my friends who's a drummer, and we're watching, and my buddy's just like, he's in awe. And he'd be doing certain things on the stage. I go, can you do that? Hell no, I can't do that.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah. And so anyways, it was really good. So afterwards, now here's the thing. So apparently what happened was before the show started, because the show started at 8 o'clock, it was just an evening with, so there was no opening band or nothing like that. So my son had hockey practice and whatnot. So anyways, I'm going to drive to the show, but I'm going to get there right around 8 o'clock. Well, it turns out that there was an accident on the way to where I was going.
Sure.
And so now I'm a few minutes late. Well, apparently someone had told me, someone who works here actually, who saw the show, said there was this big video thing that happened before the show, and it kind of spelled out the rules for like the meet and greet at the merch booth thing like afterwards, right?
Yeah.
And one of the rules was no handshakes, just fist pumps. Well, of course, I walk up to Carl right away, and I stick my hand out. He goes, that fist bomb. So, all right. So I don't know about that either. And they had all these rules and stuff, but I missed the whole thing because how many times do you go to a concert and there's like a video about rules for the meet and greet? I mean, never.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never seen it before. So anyhow, so he's over at the merch booth and he's just pretty much just signing stuff that people are buying, like drum heads and, you know, t-shirts or, you know, his paintings or whatever like that. So they're not doing pictures, which was another rule, no pictures in the meet and greet thing. Right. So okay. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I'm a picture guy. I like pictures.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I see this woman standing off to the side, and I'm there with my friend and his buddy, and this woman's there, and she's got one of those passes on laminates, and I'm thinking to myself, well, either she's part of like the VIP meet and greet thing, or she's with Carl. So I walk up, and I go, are you with Carl? And she's kind of a little bit like, she's a little bit standoffish. She's still watching everything. She goes, yeah. And I go, well, I'm Meltdown. I did an interview with him, and I just like to see if I can get a picture with him. You know, she goes, oh, yeah, well, there's the manager right there. We'll make sure it happens. She's like this English woman, right? So the manager comes over, and he says, yeah, after we're doing the merch thing, all right, no problem. So I just stand there for like another 10 minutes or something, right? So I'm talking to my buddy. We're just kind of hanging out. So Carl gets done with all his stuff, and the manager brings him over and says, hey, you know, you talked to him in an interview. He goes, oh, yeah, we already met, you know, because I did the fist bump. Thing, right?
Yeah.
So the manager, this is all happening like super fast. Like the manager just wants to get this picture done and get us the hell out of here.
Get
everybody out. So I hand him my phone. He goes, no flash, right? Or the flash is off, right? And I said, yeah, because I never put the flash on, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's on auto flash. I didn't know that. So he takes a picture and it flashes and you can just feel the disgust in his manager and him like right away. Like they just like walked away. I'm like, crap. It's like, but here's my thing. Like, I'm old. I don't know how to work this stupid phone.
Yeah.
I didn't put the flash on.
Yeah.
It just has a mind of its own. What can I tell you? So, anyways,
So you've angered him.
I didn't mean to. Like, it was a total accident. I just wanted a quick picture, and the picture's awesome, actually, with the flash. It's awesome.
Right, yeah.
So,
well, it's a good thing you don't know how to work your phone, then, because it came out better. Carl's pissed, but it's a great picture.
Yeah, hey, speaking of all sorts of rules for meet and greets and stuff, the guys from KISS are going to be coming around. Now, is this their final tour or their final tour? Well, how does this work? I don't understand.
I can't keep track of this. I've always said this before, that rock star retirements are like superhero deaths. They never last.
That's right.
Like, they always come back. But, yeah. I guess KISS did announce their first end of the road world tour dates. And it's extensive. The dates we're seeing start at the end of January. And they've even got some European dates. I mean, they've scheduled stuff through mid-July, and I don't think they're done yet.
Yeah, well, the key is it's the first.
Right, exactly.
The first leg. So, like, you know, Slayer, I think, is going to do some more dates, right? They're not done, right?
Yeah, I know that they're on their final tour, but...
I heard that was going to last, like, 2 years.
So, yeah,
and this KISS one's probably going to last about 7 years.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So those dates are up there. You can check out, see if they're coming through near you.
One of the best concerts I ever saw in my life was KISS at Tiger Stadium here when they put the makeup on in 1996, I think it was. Man, it was so cool. It's like when they took the stage, man, it was awesome. And I talked to Gene about this before, but Jerry Cantrell one time in an interview, I was like, hey, man, you know, give me the best, you know, the biggest show Alice in Chains ever played in Detroit, which I already knew the answer to, but I just wanted to see what he'd say. He goes, oh, man, it's got to be Tiger Stadium opening up for KISS in 96 when they put their makeup back on. And I've told this story before, but Jerry all of a sudden starts laughing, this like guttural laugh. He's like, man, all I remember is Lane Staley looking out at the crowd and everyone's painting like Gene and Paul and whatever, and he looks over at me and he goes, how come no one's dressed like us? I thought that was a hysterical story.
And did Gene ever unblock you on Twitter?
Yes, he did. I asked him nicely, and yes, he did unblock me. For whatever reason, I was blocked. I don't know. So, but anyways, I told Gene that story in an interview with him earlier this year, and Gene, in full Gene Simmons way, went...
That's
you
know, it?
That's how he reacted.
That's the whole response.
Let me tell you about Lane Staley. You know, he starts going on to the drug thing and the whole nine yards.
Well, yeah, I'm sure the answer lasted for 45 minutes.
Yeah, so, no, Gene's great to talk to. I like him, so.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Anyways, you got some pretty cool news on John 5.
Yeah, John 5 and the Creatures doing just a little fall U.S. tour. It's only lasting for a few dates, but he posted on Instagram, and then somebody who apparently is going to be performing bass with him responded, saying that he's really looking forward to playing bass on that. And that bassist is Nikki Six of Motley Crue.
Yeah, for those who don't know, John 5 is a native Detroiter and also Rob Zombie's guitar player for like the last, I think, 12 years. Mm-hmm. And he's tight with Nikki Six. I think that they live in the same neighborhood or they're close or whatever. I see pictures with him all the time at his parties and whatnot. But yeah, John 5 is an excellent guy and a great guitar player. And I've seen him twice now do his solo show. And I keep going back. And I'm going to try to go back this weekend when I hear him come to Southeast Michigan. But I keep going back, and I'll tell you why. Because when you go see a John 5 show, it's not just a guy up there just like, you know, stroking his own ego, playing his guitar for an hour and a half. He plays his guitar. He plays his banjo. He plays a ukulele. Yeah. He's like all over the place. Yeah. And the songs are all different. Then he does this really killer medley at the end with White Zombie stuff and Black Sabbath stuff and like all this stuff that's just, you can Google it on YouTube and watch it. But yeah, John 5 is the real deal when it comes to just outstanding guitar players.
A real showcase of a show, too.
Yeah, he's awesome. So, yeah, with Nikki Six, I mean, that's going to be really cool.
That's just kind of a cool little cameo to have up on stage, just, you know, coming through doing my solo thing. And, oh, hey, here's Nikki Six.
Yeah, and that band, that Creatures band, is pretty good, man. So it'll be interesting to see how it sounds with Nikki. So, yeah.
Well, Aaron Lewis of Stained has finished recording a new album. That's the upside. The downside is it's another country album, Meltdown.
You know what, though? You know, here's the thing with me. For me? Okay. Yeah. Now, for me, Aaron Lewis is the best country writer on the planet right now.
Yeah, sure. Okay?
Because all the other country songs are all pop garbage that they just add twang to, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, so. I'm talking trash, of course, but there are a lot of people that like the Aaron Lewis country stuff, so we're expecting that to arrive here early in 2019. Speaking of new stuff, of course, Disturbed just recently released their latest album, which is called Evolve, and Evolution, I should say. Mm-hmm. Evolution, and I did listen to it. I heard a little more acoustic guitar than I would have expected from when I first discovered Disturbed.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, David Draymond kind of addressed that a little bit in an interview, people asking him about, you know, the new sound of Evolution. And he kind of mentions that we get requests all the time from people to go back and make another The Sickness, you know, their debut from the early 2000s. And he's just like, that's not possible for us anymore. That the band has grown beyond that. And as an artist, you want to continue to grow and do new things, not just do the same stuff all over again, and that it would just sort of be redundant, which kind of brings me to this point. You know, we got just mentioned Aaron Lewis doing country. Disturbed's talking about, dude, we've moved on past The Sickness. You know, sometimes people get accused of selling out in that. You know, obviously Metallica is a big example of being accused of sellouts.
What do you mean with the Black Record?
Yeah, the Black Album, you know, like I'm one of those, like, I love my 80s Metallica, you know.
Of course.
You know, that's like the quintessential, like, Metallica sold out or whatever. But it's just bands moving on. I even saw like recent stories with Godsmack, their latest album, they kind of caught some heat on from some of their old fans, but I love the way they've handled it. Some guys come out, oh, the new Godsmack, it's not heavy enough anymore. And their response is, we were never a heavy metal band. What are you talking about? And there's like, get over it. We've moved on. We're not angry kids anymore, you know?
Yeah, I think I talked with Shannon and Tony about this at Rock on the Range back in May. And it's like, look, they're like, hey, man, we're in our 50s, you know? We're not kids anymore. It's like you said.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the thing. These bands sometimes get anchored back to their biggest successes, which was Disturbed with Down with the Sickness. I mean, when that first came out almost 20 years ago, I mean, it just took the rock world by storm. As a matter of fact, I think they started Ozfest that year, like on the opening stage or whatever, and then somewhere along the line got moved up to the main stage during that tour.
Oh,
and so that's how big that song was for those guys. But we talked to with Dan Donegan back a couple months ago, and he talks about how, you know, this Evolution is all about evolving and doing different things. And, you know, that reason, the fight song on the record's killer, and it's like, it's something you wouldn't expect from Disturbed. They didn't put a cover on there. Dan did say in an interview with me that, they did tinker around with some covers, but they didn't feel that this record needed one. So anyways.
Yeah, he did say, though, David Draymond in that interview mentioned that it is kind of ironic that the lead single, Are You Ready, is probably the most like something of the Sickness era.
Yeah,
from
course.
That album.
Yeah, but, yeah, you hear that, and it's totally Disturbed. There's no question about it.
Exactly.
So you got some Ronnie James Dio news?
That's right. We've got a couple of lost rockers with some news this week as well. Ronnie James Dio, we may finally see that autobiography he was working on. At the time of his passing, which is years ago at this point, he was about three quarters of the way through this autobiography, and his widow, Wendy, who was also his longtime manager, teamed up with legendary rock journalist Mick Wall to try and get this thing finished up. And it is going to be happening. They are going to be releasing it. They're looking at it to come out here in 2020.
I don't know if people know this or not, but do you know where Ronnie James Dio grew up?
It was out in New York somewhere, right?
Yeah, in Cortland, New York. Yeah,
Cortland, yeah.
Which is like the middle of the state. So anyways, it's not really like a breeding ground for heavy metal legends, you know? So anyways, so when I was a kid, I grew up in Western New York, and this guy used to come into the bar every Friday or whatever. He was the health inspector. And one day he told me that he went to school with Ronnie James Dio. And I'm like, and he was older than me, of course, you know, probably around Dio's age, whatever, you know, whatever that was. So anyways, one day he comes into the bar, and he goes, hey, I want to show you something. He digs his wallet out and pulls out an advertisement from like 1967 or 1968. It said, Ronnie Dio tonight.
Whoa!
And had a picture of Ronnie James Dio in his high school yearbook picture.
Really?
Yeah, short hair, suit, tie, the whole thing. It said, Ronnie Dio tonight. This is before Elf. This is before Dio. This is before everything. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. One of the reasons I really like Ronnie James Dio, he was shorter than me. So I can't say that about many people.
That's
but,
right.
But he was a super, super. Super, super nice guy. I met him once. He couldn't have been nicer. So,
yeah, well, in other news, rockers that we have lost, of course, Vinnie Paul, which was more recent, of course. Here's the thing, though. Before he had passed, he had gotten the ball rolling on an official merchandise store for himself, which is finally going to be launching here at VinniePaulShop.com. So you can kind of check that out and kind of browse around for your Vinnie Paul merch.
There you go. Yeah, Vinnie, man, great guy. What can you say about VP? Loved his hockey, loved his football, loved his rock and roll, man. Good dude right there. So anyways, yeah, if you check out my my Twitter at MeltdownWRIF, my pinned tweet is a video of VP and myself from last November, almost a year ago, at the House of Blues before a Steel Panther show. He didn't know what he was going there for, because he was coming from Guns N' Roses and had a little bit too much to drink, but it's a great
video. Remembered you, though.
That's right, he did. Yeah. You know, there's no doubt. He's a good man. So anyways, yeah, follow that. And of course, I got the new Twitter up for the podcast, Talking Rock with Meltdown. You can search that out or just hit mine at Meltdown WRIF, and there's probably a link, or you can find it there in my feed. And what else? Oh, 248-586-2988. We talked about frontman. You know, it's funny because I get this all the time. People call the line and they hang up. You got to leave a message. I can't use it. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, what's your Twitter handle?
At Al Beck Radio.
All right, there you go. Follow Al, and of course, Instagram, Facebook, and the whole thing. And listen, this is like technically a new podcast. So if you like what you heard today, give us a 5-star rating there on iTunes and help us move up just a little bit. Kind of blew up the old Radio Chatter one. This is all new, you know, Talking Rock with Meltdown, trying to bash this one up. Hey, listen, we got some killer interviews we've already done. We've got an in-studio guest, guitar great, coming up next week, which you're really going to want to hear, and more. Thank you so much for checking out Talking Rock with Meltdown.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.